Who of you want God to do something amazing in your life? Anybody here? I can't hear you.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Let's talk about that quickly. What is it that actually moves the hand of God? It's faith. You know, the Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Religion doesn't please God. How many times you read your Bible doesn't please God. There's a lot of people that can quote the Bible, but they have no faith. There's a lot of people that act very religious. They go to church every Sunday, but they have no faith. You see, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says when you come to God, you must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11, verse 6. If you cannot believe tonight that God wants to reward you and bless you, then I'm telling you, you have no faith. Or maybe now you're getting upset with me. I don't care. If you cannot believe that God wants to bless you tonight and that He has good things in store for you, the Word of God says you have no faith. So let me see the hands of everybody that has some faith. I like that. That means that when you came here tonight, you came with an expectation. If you didn't come with an expectation, you have no faith. Then you're going to receive nothing. When you come to God, you must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Why are you here? Because you seek Him. And the Word of God says when you seek God, He will reward you. I don't know about you, but I like a good reward every now and then. If you reward me, I like you. And if I reward you, you like me. Why? Because we love to be rewarded, don't we? Let me tell you something. We serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings that wants to reward you on a daily basis. But the thing that needs to come into your life before you receive from God is called faith. Is it that difficult to believe that God exists? My friend, it's not that difficult. When you look at this world, when you see how God created it, when you talk to people that have experienced God, your faith will quickly begin to grow. And you know what the Word of God also says in the book of Romans? For God has given each a measure of faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I have faith.
I have faith.
Look at your other neighbor and say, you have faith. You better believe it. Because God never created anybody without faith. We all have some faith. Now, some of us have allowed our faith to grow and some of us have not. But the fact of the matter is we have a little bit of faith. And you know, the parable says, if you use the little you have, you will be rewarded with more. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a lot of faith. You say, oh, but, you know, Rion, I don't have that much faith. Then I'm telling you, you can get more. Because faith is like a muscle. The more you activate it, the more you use it, the stronger it becomes. You can walk in here tonight and you can have, let's say, 1% of faith. In 6 months' time, you can have 50%. It depends on you. Are you willing to allow your faith to grow, yes or no? Then what do you have to do? You have to start believing that God wants to reward you. For some of you, that's very difficult. I'm one of those people, there are times in my life that I battle to believe that God wants to reward me. But in Jesus' name, that's nonsense. Because the Word of God says God wants to reward those that diligently seek Him. That means those that choose to have faith in Him. What do you need right now? What do you need right now? What do you need? Everybody that is here tonight has something that they need that can't be given to them in normal ways. Some of you need healing. Some of you need restoration. Some of you need a husband. Check all the ladies eyeballing me now. Don't look at the guy next to you. He's married. What's wrong with you? Maybe you need finances. Maybe you need a job. I don't know what you need, but let me tell you something. When faith comes into your life, it will be provided for you because it will come as your reward. I don't know about you, but one thing we need more of is faith. One thing we need more of is faith. But I've got good news for you. You've got something in you to start working with. You already have faith inside of you. When God created you, if you take a look at your blueprint in heaven, there is faith in you. We look too much to the world and then we forget. We look too much at crime and corruption and all this nonsense, then we forget. But if you look inside of you, there is some faith. If you just begin to exercise it, you just begin to trust, it'll start growing. And before you know it, reward after reward after reward is going to start coming into your life. People will look at you differently, and you will look at life differently. Amen?
Amen.
Well, bless God. That's just a little mini sermon. That's not what I want to talk about. Actually, it is. But I want to share something else with you tonight. Before I start, I'm going to actually share a testimony with you. I shared it with the people in my team 2 weeks ago. And I want to share it again tonight. A couple of months ago, I got a phone call about a girl, a woman, that was very sick. And she was pretty much dying. When they brought her to the house that I prayed for her, they had to carry her into the house because she couldn't walk. She was blind. She could not see. She was in intense pain. And she was really, really, really sick. And I prayed for her. She couldn't speak. She was like a doll. Everything was just hanging. She had no strength. She had no energy. And the spirit of death was hanging over her. He had come to take her life. How many of you know that the Bible says there's a time to live and a time to die? Is everybody going to die? Yes or no? All right, don't get all morbid on me. That's not where I'm going. But the fact of the matter is, you better make peace with the fact that one day you're going to die. And that's not such a bad thing, because when I die, I'm going to a better place. Let me tell you something. When I die, you better not be crying at my graveside, because there's no reason for you to cry. Because me, I'm not going to be crying where I'm going. I'm going to be having a big party. Amen. And if God... Yeah, give the Lord a big hand. And if God is really, really, really good to me, He will take me on a quick detour before I get to heaven to the devil's place to kick his butt. Just one last time. And I want to tell you one thing. In the spirit, I have size 16s. You'll never forget that kick up your ass. Amen.
Amen!
I like that. But there is a time to live and there is a time to die. But the time to die is determined by God, not by Satan. Satan loves to give us the idea that he calls the shots. I don't know about you, but the Bible teaches me something else. The Bible says God is sovereign. The Bible says God is the one that destines the footsteps of man, not Satan. And there are times when Satan tries to come and take something before it's time. And we don't have to accept that. We can put our foot down and say no. I want you to understand something. The devil is like a blow-up fish. Do you know how a blow-up fish operates? It's actually a tiny little dinky toy Mickey Mouse fish. And because it is tiny, it is prey for a lot of other big fish. So when one of the predators comes close, it goes and it blows itself up and it looks much bigger than what it really is. It tries to intimidate. It tries to threaten so that through intimidation it can have its way, which in its case would be survival. But Satan is exactly the same. He comes like a roaring lion. Have you ever read that in the Word of God? The enemy prowls about like a roaring lion. He isn't one. He just thinks he is. Hello? He's this tiny little Mickey Mouse thing jumping up and down going, rawr, rawr, I'm a lion. I'm a lion. Hello? Yeah, you should find that funny because it's funny. Because he has nothing. We serve the Lion of Judah. He's a lion. He is the Lion of Judah. He doesn't think he's a lion. He is one. The devil thinks he's a lion. Actually, let me put it to you this way. He's this tiny little Mickey Mouse thing that went to a costume shop, rented a lion outfit, and parades around like a roaring lion. You see, Satan always wanted to be like Jesus. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. Because he kept on saying, I will be like the Most High. I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like. Satan wants to be Jesus, but he never will be. Just like she will never be him. Praise God for that. And he will never be her. Well, praise God for that too. And when God made you, he broke the mold. Well, bless God for that. But you see, the devil hasn't caught on to this whole thing yet. You want to know what he really is? He's a copycat. He's a copycat, but a very bad one at that. Because he can't do any of the things that Christ can do. In any case, when they brought this woman there, she was dying. She had so much pain that you couldn't touch her leg. She would scream. And she just hanged there. And I started praying for her. And the power of God came into that place. You could actually feel it. It was like there was an electricity in the air. And you know, the most amazing thing started happening. This woman's body began to contort in really funny, strange ways. But it wasn't her doing that because she couldn't move her body. She had no energy left. She was on her last. And her body was going all funny and all strange. You were there that night. You remember? Yeah. And this leg, the one leg was almost swollen twice the size of the other leg. And this leg began, the foot began to move, the calf, the ankle, everything began to move. And when I asked her if she was the one moving it, she told me, no, she can't move it. But it was moving. Who was moving it? The Spirit of God. And then she began to feel something start coming out of her. Guess what was leaving her? The spirit of death. She felt him come out, come out, come out. 20 minutes later, she sat up, she spoke, she could see. And you know what? And this actually blessed me. She was carried into that room. She was put down. She just lay there. 20 minutes later, she got up by herself. And when I wanted to help her, she said, no, no, no. I want to do this myself. She got up and she stood and she put weight on that foot for the first time in I don't know how many months. And she took the first step. And you know what? When she went and sat down again, she actually showed me that she took her fist and she started hitting her leg and she said, look, I have no more pain. Amen. Can somebody give the Lord a hand, please? There is a time to live and there is a time to die. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to live. Look at your other neighbor and say, it's time to live. Okay, why am I saying that? Because the devil convinces some of us it's time to die. There are some of you, yeah, you've given up on your hopes. You've given up on your dreams. Some of you don't want to live anymore. Some of you say, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of that. You are speaking death over yourself. And you can't have that. Because it is not your time to die. It is not your time to die. Do you hear me? It's time to live. And what type of life is it that you want to live? Well, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more. I want you to say, thank God. Thank God. for abundant life. Amen. Amen. Abundant life. Listen, yeah, you were not called to live a Mickey Mouse life. I'm sorry, get that out of your mind. You were called to live an abundant life. You were called to live a prosperous life. You were called to live a healthy life. You were called to live a blessed life. And that is the life that you are going to live. And faith is going to get you to the place that you start living that life. There are many of you, what I just spoke now is not what you're living right now. You are living a watered down version of God's life and God's heart and God's purpose for your life. And that has to change. Because right now the thief is running away with your blessings. Not because he can, because you let him. There's a big difference. If we don't understand what God wants for us, if we don't understand God's plan for us, we will often live a really bad version thereof. Because the thief is running away with our blessings. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to be healthy. God wants your life to go forward, not backwards. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. You must be the top and not the bottom. And by bottom, I don't mean somebody's backside. You understand? Yeah, that thing. Let's not go there. God wants to bless you. But let me explain to you how life works. Life is tough. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you should raise two hands and your feet. Yeah, and stick out your tongue. Life is tough. We have disappointments, we have disillusionment, we have fear, we have failure. We have calamity, we have destruction, we have problems, problems, problems. And sometimes we come to a place that we say to ourselves, but you know what? This is just too much for me. I can't take it anymore. I can't do this anymore. And if you look back at your life, I'm sure you're going to look at a lot of things that actually called death into your life, that brought you to the place that you want to give up, that you say to yourself, I can't do this anymore. That's the voice of the evil one. But the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And tonight the voice of God wants to speak to you, to challenge and to confront the strongholds that have come into your mind that got you to the place to say, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Nothing is ever going to change. Things will never get better. Some of you think you're listening to yourself right now because you hear those words come out of your mouth all the time. Who's speaking there? It's the spirit of death. Why? Because he does want you to give up. Why? Because he knows there's something better for you. Why? Because God is for you, not against you. Amen? God is for you, not against you. I want to read this psalm for you. You all know it. But let's read this, Psalm 23. This is not what I was going to preach. This is just something God put in my heart while the worship was going on. But it's going to bless you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's look at that. The Lord is my shepherd. The first thing that has to happen in your life is you need to choose to make the Lord your shepherd. Because I want to say something to you. The Lord is not everybody's shepherd. He's available. He wants to be your shepherd, but a lot of people are not in his flock. You know, there's a difference between the flock that is with the shepherd and the flock that is outside there doing their own thing. That's the problem in this world. A lot of people, okay, let's refer to sheep. A lot of sheep want to do everything their way. They don't want to be under a shepherd. They don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be sort of ensnared by boundaries. Etc. They want to do their own thing. And you know what? As nice as it sounds to say that I can do whatever I want, when I want, how I want, if you are not in the shepherd's flock, you are prey to the predators. Because the purpose, one of the purposes of the shepherd is to look after, take care of, and protect the flock. And if you are not part of the flock, you are out there in the wilderness where the lions and the wolves, the leopards and the cheetahs, the jackals and the hyenas, and all that other rubbish hang around. And let me tell you something, there's a whole bunch of demons out there that can't wait to get hold of the average sheep, to tear you limb from limb, to destroy your life, to annihilate you. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to ask you a question tonight. Is God your shepherd? Yes or no?
Yes.
He better be. Because if you are part of his flock, he takes responsibility for you. And I want to tell you something about this shepherd. When Jesus spoke about the shepherd, he says, this shepherd is the kind that even though he has 100 sheep and he loses one, he will make sure the 100 are safe and go after the one, because the one is important to him. Look at your neighbor and say, I am important for God. Don't you think for one second that God doesn't know what's going on in your life right now? And don't you think for one second that the shepherd is not willing to do whatever it takes to sort out your problem? Say goodbye to your problems. Wave goodbye. Because we just, here's what we're doing. We're enlightening the devils in your life, the spirits of destruction, the spirit of death, the spirit of calamity, the spirit of fear, the spirit of fright and terror, the spirit of depression, the spirit of anxiety and worry and stress and etc. etc. We're letting them know that the shepherd is on the job. They are predators preying on you, but the shepherd is coming for them. God is the good shepherd, who knows how to take care of his flock, who knows how to protect, who knows how to bless. Let's look at this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Woo, I like that. I shall not be in want. That is just a nice way of saying, I will not lack any good thing. Is there anybody here today that is lacking in any good thing? Come on, be honest with me now. Don't get all religious and like, oh, people mustn't know that I have a bit of problem somewhere. Anybody lack faith? Raise your hands. If you lack faith, raise your hands. Come on, we all lack a bit of faith. Come on. If we all had the faith God wants us to have, there would be no dead people. There would be no sick people. There would be no bullies. There would be no pedophiles, because we would sort them all out. Come on. We all need a bit more faith, don't we? Anybody need a bit more finances? Look at the difference here. When I ask you about faith, you're like, oh, I'm actually okay. I ask you about finances, oh, me. Now there's your problem. Come on, what's wrong with you? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What do you lack? Give me one thing that you lack. Knowledge. Buy an encyclopedia. You got a wife. You got Google sitting next to you. Oh. What do you lack? Yeah, besides hair, I can see that. That's obvious. His problem is not lack of hair. His problem is his head grows too quick. His head is outgrowing his hair. What do you lack? Finances. She's honest. I like that. What do you lack? Everything. That's a tall order. But I'm sure the shepherd knows exactly what you need. What do you lack? Patience. She's being honest. Pray for her husband. Yeah. What do you lack? Faith. And you? Patience. I want to see these two husbands after the meeting. After I pray for the two wives. Patience. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Okay, here's the thing. Right now, everybody that is in this place can point to some area of their life and say, I have lack here. Some of you have lack of health. Some of you have lack of strength. Some of you have lack of patience. Some of you have lack of peace. Some of you have lack of love. Some of you have lack of joy. Some of you lack all of those things. But the Bible says it's not God's heart for you to lack. In an ideal situation, you, me, we should not lack. But the devil is busy in all of our lives. The thief that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy is busy running away with some of your blessings. Now, sometimes because we don't realize what God's heart is for us and we can't stand on the truth, the devil gets away with murder. Have you ever heard this proverb, knowledge is power? Say with me, knowledge is power. The devil knows that. That's why he doesn't want us to know certain things. The Bible says God doesn't want you to lack. In fact, the Bible says, when the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Raise your hands again. Everybody that says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now say this with me. I shall not want. Say it again. Say it again. Can I tell you what you're busy doing? No, keep your hands in there. You're busy prophesying. You're busy prophesying to that devil of lack that's busy running away with your blessings. And you are letting him know, listen, ya, you piece of rubbish. You all thought I was going to say something else. If I wasn't recording it, maybe. But I don't want to put an R rating on the sermon when I upload it on the internet. You understand? You say to that devil, devil!
Devil.
Yes, the truth.
Yes,
the truth.
I
shall not lack
any good thing
in Jesus' name.
Now
tonight you are making a declaration. Tonight you are letting the devil know things are changing because I know the truth. Didn't Jesus say, John 8 verse 32, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free? Come on. So it's time for lack to go. Your hair must come back. You're right. At least once to... There was only one to stand. If you walk in here next week with a full head of hair, everybody else is going to go ballistic. Oh, Lord, bless him, bless him, bless The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Okay, let's talk about God, the shepherd, the good shepherd. What type of environment does he want you to spend your life in? Well, it doesn't say desert. Hello? It doesn't say, I don't know exactly what the English word is, like barren wasteland. It says that when God is your shepherd and you understand that he is your shepherd, which also sort of defines him as your provider, if you understand that and you claim that, and you insist that that is the life that you are going to live because you have faith in him, then you are going to spend your life where? In green pastures. Now remember, when God is the shepherd, that designates us as being the flock, which in this case could be the sheep. That means that these sheep are all going to be nice and fat. I know some of the ladies don't like when I talk that way, but this is spiritually speaking. You understand? We are going to spend our life in green pastures. In other words, a place where there is abundant provision. And in green pastures, there's lots of nice trees that give us shade. In other words, everything we need to have a peaceful, happy, blessed, tranquil existence should be there. Look at your life. Is that where you are right now? Then something is robbing you. Then what should we do? Somebody say with me, put our foot down. Right, let's do it. Everybody get up for me, please. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe in these things or not, right now the devil is busy stealing from you. In a way, you should get upset about it because what he's doing is wrong. We get upset with people. We get upset with circumstances, we get upset with organizations and institutions, but we should really be getting upset with the one that causes all the problems, and the Bible calls him Satan, the roaring lion, or the one that prowls around like a roaring lion. And the Bible says, when you know the truth becomes a sword, and the purpose of the sword is to set you free. So now, tonight, I've shared with you a couple of things that probably you never saw when you read this psalm, even though you've read it 100 times. And now you have to appropriate what you have learned. It's time to put our foot down. What kind of a life does God want you to live? A prosperous life, a peaceful life, a life without lack. Abundant life. And if you don't have that right now, then it's time for you to put your foot down. So now, please raise your hands for me. Both hands. You pray this with me. We're praying it and we're prophesying it at the same time. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that is speaking to me right now about my life and about my circumstances. I thank you for the truth that can set me free. And tonight, the truth spoke to me. My life is not where it's supposed to be. But my life is going there. Right now, I will not have a thief steal from me. I will not have the devil lie to me. I claim that abundant life. I claim that prosperous life. I claim that peaceful life. In Jesus' name. I make a declaration. God is my Father, my protector, my provider, and my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. In Jesus' name. Devil, get under my feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me besides quiet waters. He leads me besides quiet waters. Again, that speaks of God's provision. But He doesn't take you to stormy and turbulent seas or places. He takes you to quiet waters. It speaks of tranquility. What is God's heart for you? To have a quiet, tranquil, blessed life. Abundant life. Water speaks of life. Can you live without water? Can any organism really live without water? No. That's why we can't go to the moon and wherever, because there's no water. We won't survive. You need water to survive. Water sustains life. According to what I was told sometime, the human body is like 3/4 water. Amen? We need water. Where does God want you to live your life? By the quiet, tranquil, living waters. He restores my soul. Ah. Let's talk about that. Why would God need to restore your soul if your soul doesn't have a couple of problems? When you restore a car, do you... this will make sense to you. Let's say I like VW, by the way. If you didn't know, now you know. Let's say I go into VW and I buy a brand new Golf 7 GTI. Oh, I'm all excited. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I buy my brand new Golf 7 GTI. I drive it out and I decide, it's time for a complete restoration. I drive it into the local panel shop and I say, strip it down, strip everything down and restore this car for me. What is the panel beater going to think? He's going to think to himself, what an idiot, but let's do it. It's a lot of money. You don't do things like that, do you? Because there's nothing wrong with it. When you have to restore something, it means there's problems with it. Do you see what the Bible says? God wants to restore your soul. What does that say about your soul? There's some problems. Because can I tell you why? Even though God has always been God, God hasn't always been your shepherd. Until you did not realize who God was, you lived your life out in the wild. You had a couple of predators take bites out of you. You've been knocked around by life. Disappointment has touched your heart. Fear has touched your spirit. Disappointment has touched your soul. A lot of people become children of God, but they never prosper because their souls have never been restored by God. My friend, the Bible wouldn't say that God wants to restore your soul if God didn't know that there is probably a problem with your soul. Think of your life back. Have you had any bad experiences in life? And you? Have you had any big disappointments? Have you suffered a lot of fear? Have you maybe been abused? I think we can all answer yes to some of those things, if not all of those things. And you see, here's the problem. In heaven, there's a blueprint that shows what God created you to be and how you were created, etc., etc. Let's talk about cars again, because that'll help you to understand. If I now take my brand new Golf 7 GTI into the streets of Joburg, where apparently nobody can drive, indicators don't, you know, when you switch on your indicator, it's like an instant call for the person to close the gap instead of make a gap. Stop streets are just a suggestion. Robots are apparently disco lights. The more they flash, the more you drop the petrol. Vroom, vroom, you know? So it's not inconceivable that after a couple of months, my car has got a ding on the left-hand side and the front light is out and the one wheel is buckled. Oh, we're living in Gauteng. All four wheels are buckled because there's no roads. It's big potholes. It's all. Is my car still the same? You know, when I just bought it, I could do 120 without a problem. Now, after 6 months, if I do 120, the steering wheel is going. The windows sound like they're falling out. Probably the car needs a bit of restoration now. If I restore it, it'll be as good as new. But I might have to restore it. You are no different. You've taken a couple of knocks. The devil's been busy in your life. God wants to restore your soul. I've got some good news for you. God is the best restorer in the business. You know, he's not called the potter for no reason. A potter is somebody very creative. They see it in their mind's eye and they create it in front of you. One, two, three. There it is. And God knows exactly how he created you the first time. He can recreate you the second time. Probably if you look at yourself right now and you compare yourself to what God created you to be, you won't recognize who you are. But God can restore your soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here is some very good news. When you meet the shepherd and you understand who he is and what he wants to do in your life, then you can begin to trust him to guide and direct your path. Do you know why most of us need to be restored? Because we kept bungling along on the wrong path. You know, the Bible says there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. When we don't know God, every road seems okay to us. Drugs, yeah, no problem. Anger, violence, hatred, yeah, well, they deserve it anyway. Abuse, sexual immorality, the list goes on and on and on. And because we keep choosing the wrong paths, we keep getting banged up, knocked, hit, and our life takes a knock. Do you understand that? God wants to restore us, but God also wants to guide us in the paths of righteousness. In other words, God wants to become your personal GPS. There will be times when he will say, turn left. There will be times when he will say, turn right. There will be times when he will say, go straight. But it's only when you realize who he is and what he wants to do in your life that you begin to experience that. There are people that have lived in the church for years and years and years, but God still does not direct their path. The devil does. The world does. Friends do. Can I tell you the problem with friends? They tend to pull us down rather than pick us up. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen to me carefully. When you meet the shepherd and the shepherd becomes part of your life and you are part of his flock, then he has an obligation to take care of you because he does it for his name's sake. Amen? It's important for God that your life be good. It's important for God that you be prosperous. Why? Because now people know you serve him. And the best testimony that there is to bring other people to God is for them to look at your life and say, wow, why are you so blessed? Amen? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, let me just show you something interesting here. The previous passage says, he guides me in paths of righteousness. In other words, when God becomes the shepherd of your life, when God becomes the person that is in charge of your life and begins to guide and direct you, something interesting happens. There might be times when he will guide you to the valley of the shadow of death. Hello? No, but Rion, that can't be right. Why not? Sometimes God wants you to go and take back what the thief stole from you. You're going to find it in the valley of the shadow of death. And sometimes God will send you there because that's the place for you to be. Now you're not getting all excited about this. But you see, here's the fact. God is sovereign. But the fact is, God is still your shepherd, even though you are now in the valley of the shadow of death. You are not there alone. Why not? Because the shepherd is with you. There are some of you that maybe right now in your life, you are in the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes God wants you to confront your demons. Because if you don't confront them, they will walk over you for the rest of your life. And sometimes you might have to go to the valley of the shadow of death to be able to confront them because that's where the stupid thing is hiding right now. But you will never be alone because God will never leave you and God will never forsake you. And he has promised to take care of you, be your protector, be your provider. And he has to do it for his name's sake. You know, the devil knows when we go through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations and we feel, oh, it's hopeless, I want to give up. That's when he says to us, oh, you see, oh, you're in the valley of the shadow of death. Just give it up. It's never going to work. Listen to me, you're not alone. God is still with you. And sometimes God allowed you to go to that place because it's time to take back what the thief stole from you. Sometimes God took you to that place because it's time to put the stupid thing in his place. And what better than putting him in his place in front of all of his chochos? Hello? Here's what he says about the valley of the shadow of death. Listen, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death is one of the most evil places you will ever find. There is evil around every corner. There is evil in abundance. But even though you are in the midst of all of that evil, you don't have to fear. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is the Bible says no matter what the enemy brings against you, never, ever fear. Why not? Because of the next scripture. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm never alone. And neither are you. For God, listen to me. Isn't that exactly how the devil operates? We feel so alone. We feel so helpless. We feel so useless. We are filled with fear because our circumstances are much bigger than us. We can't see the end of the tunnel. We can't see how things are going to get better, how things are going to change. We are riddled with fear, etc., etc. And the devil convinces us this is a good time for you to just give up. But you're never alone. And God does not want you to fear. Because let me tell you something about this shepherd. No matter what the devil has to bring against you, he's got the guns to sort the problem. And yeah, he says, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If this was written in modern day English, and I say this respectfully, but God would be Rambo. And he's got an M60 in this hand and an M16 in the other hand. A Gatling gun over the shoulder. He's towing a 88 howitzer behind him. And no matter what the enemy has to bring, he's like in one twinkling of an eye, he's ready to take out a whole legion of enemies. That's why you don't have to fear, because God is with you and he's armed to the teeth. And you can take comfort in the fact that you don't have to fight alone, because he's fighting with you and he's fighting for you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table for me. What is the purpose of that table? A banquet, a party, a feast. Why? Victory. Because we're talking about enemies. And once the enemies are defeated, you see, God takes you through the valley of the shadow of death to conquer the enemy. And once the enemy is conquered, God will make the enemy sit down and watch you have a feast of victory. Why? Because God is your provider. God is your protector. And God has to do this for his name's sake. You know those devils that are speaking to you right now, saying to you, it's over, it's never going to change, you're not going to get anywhere, nothing will ever get any better, just give it up. In a couple of minutes' time, you are going to have a banquet in their midst. And you are going to proclaim the glory of God, because God will give you victory and make them sit and watch. Why? Because that's who the shepherd is. Amen? That's who the shepherd is. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil. What's the purpose of the oil? What is the oil symbolic of? The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. When you allow the shepherd to come into your life, you also allow the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Because when you see God as your shepherd, then God puts his seal upon you. What is the seal of God? It's the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit goes with you wherever you go. And let me tell you something about the anointing. The anointing is a supernatural power that enables us to do things that we can't otherwise do. Sometimes we need wisdom. The anointing will allow wisdom to come forth. Sometimes we need power. The anointing will allow power to come forth. Every single one of us has giftings inside of us. Without the anointing, the gift is dormant. Sometimes the anointing will touch the gift inside of you and allow that gift to get you to rise above your circumstances. But what I'm trying to say to you is this: when God becomes your shepherd, there is something supernatural that begins to work in your life. The anointing of the Holy Spirit comes into your life and it enables you to start living what we call a supernatural life. The things that the Holy Spirit does is supernatural. If you look at the life of Jesus, Jesus was always the Son of God. There can be no doubt about that. Because Mary was immaculately conceived by the Holy Spirit, she became pregnant and she gave birth to the Son of God. And Jesus was always the Son of God, but Jesus did not always do signs, wonders, and miracles. For 30 years, Jesus was just another man. Albeit the Son of God, he was still just another man, because he did not perform signs or wonders or miracles in any way. Until one day, when he was in the desert, and the power of God came down from heaven. He was being baptized, the heavens opened up, God spoke these words, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love." The Spirit of God came down like a dove, and the Bible says, alighted upon him. In other words, set down upon him and filled him. And from that very moment, Jesus was a completely different man. He was no longer a carpenter. Guess who he was now? Now he was the manifestation of the Son of God. Everything that was locked up inside of him started coming out from that moment. Jesus was always the healer, but now he could be the healer. He was always the deliverer, but now he would be the deliverer. He was always full of wisdom, but now he would speak that wisdom. Amen? He was always capable of walking on water, but now he would walk on water. He could always multiply things, but now he would multiply the wine, the bread, the fish. In other words, when the Spirit of God came upon him, it brought an element of the supernatural into his life. And that's important. Can I tell you why? Because sometimes without that supernatural, you can't conquer what you're busy fighting. You can't rise above the situation that you're stuck in right now. You need the supernatural power of God to sometimes give you that edge over what the enemy is busy doing. You have to understand something. Your enemy is not your mother-in-law. Hello? Your enemy is supernatural. You can't see him. So if you can't see him, how do you deal with him? You need supernatural power to deal with him. Where do you get it? From God. When God becomes your shepherd, he anoints your head. He allows the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon you and you begin to live a supernatural life. My cup overflows. Ooh, I like that. We're busy talking sort of about prosperity. Amen? In other words, what the Bible says is that when God becomes your shepherd, your cup is no longer just a cup, it becomes a fountain. And it keeps overflowing. It's like the more you drink, the more it gives. Do you remember that story? I think it was Elijah that went to the widow's house and he asked the widow to make him a bread. And she said to him, "Oh, but I can't really do this because I've only got a little bit of oil and I've only got a little bit of flour. And after I make this cake, I'm going to eat it and my son is going to eat it and we're going to lie down and die." Because there had been famine in the land for a couple of years, something like 3 years. And this was her last bit. He said to her, "Make me some bread." And then you go to your neighbors and you go to your neighbors' neighbors and you get all the containers that you can find. And then you take that oil and you keep pouring it. And the Bible says as much as she poured it, the oil never stopped coming out. Her cup was overflowing. Now I want to say something interesting to you. Even though she's the one person that the Bible records that it happened to, it should be happening to you. It should be happening to me. It should be happening to you. It doesn't have to happen the same way that it happened to her because we're different people. We're living in different times and God works with us differently. But the fact is we can get the same result. Now, I've shared this with you maybe, but let me just help you to understand this. Let's say that the answer should be 10. How do we get to 10? Well, 5 times 2 is 10. But 20 divided by 2 is also 10. 50 minus 40 is also 10. 5 plus 5 is also 10. There's many ways of getting to the same result. God, being God, can use any way to get there. The result is prosperity. How he does it is up to him. She can be prosperous by God giving her a big job and lots of perks, etc., etc. She can be prosperous by God just deciding to bring a stranger into her house and bless her with R1 million. He can be prosperous by God giving him an idea and he has this invention and something starts happening and the next thing you know, he's just got a lot of money. There's a lot of ways for God to prosper you. And God's not going to prosper me the exact same way that he prospers her or him. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says God wants your cup to run over. So you know what? What that widow had is yours, is mine. Look at your neighbor and say, "My cup starts overflowing tonight." Amen. Yes. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Did you hear that? Do you know what is not supposed to be following you? Your past failures, your past fears, your anxiety, your fright, your terror, your mistakes, the skeletons in your closet. The one who laughed the loudest has the most. Dwing. What should be following you? Listen to what the Bible says. What must follow you? Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. What is goodness? Goodness is people being good to you, your circumstances being good. It doesn't mean bad things don't happen, but bad things, even though they come, they have a good outcome. Do you hear me? My friend, let me get you to understand something. Trials and tribulations are going to be there for everybody, even though you are in the green pastures. Because remember, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even though God is your shepherd, sometimes you will have to go through the valley of the shadow of death, be it to learn a lesson, be it to confront a demon, be it to take back what the enemy stole, doesn't matter. There will be trials, there will be tribulations, but goodness is what will follow you, not evil. When you look at your life, I want you to picture this. It's a couple of years from now. For some of you, it's 20 years from now. For some of you, it's 50 years from now. You're a grandpa or a grandma. Okay, some of you might be a grandpa already. You're sitting there and you're busy talking to your grandchildren. You're sharing some stories and some anecdotes about your life. And yes, you tell them about some of the bad things that happened. You tell them about some of the trials and tribulations. But you always come back to how God brought you through. You always come back to the testimony. This, and then God did this. And then God provided that. And then God did this miracle for me. That is what we call goodness. You will always have a testimony. And when you look back at your life in a couple of years' time, the things that will stand out for you is not the problems. It's the goodness of God. It's the way God provided for you. It's the way God delivered you. It's the way God healed you. It's the way God changed your life. It's the way God used your life to inspire other people's. Amen. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Love. Why love? Because the Bible says God is love. Did you know that? God is love. And because you chose to make him your shepherd, the manifestation of the shepherd is going to start coming to you through other people. People will start looking at you differently. They will start experiencing you differently. They will begin to treat you with love instead of contempt. Don't get me wrong, there's always going to be an idiot out there that's going to be an idiot. That's just the way it is. But more and more, love is going to manifest in your life. Love in your relationships. Love in your workplace. And by love, I don't mean intimacy between a man and a woman. I mean love. There can be love between two strangers even. You know the story of the Good Samaritan. You all remember the story, right? There was this guy that got attacked by robbers and thieves. He was an Israelite. He got beaten to a pulp, and then there was a rabbi that came past, and then there was some Levite or somebody that came past, both like good men that were supposed to help. But they never did nothing for this man lying there next to the road, busy dying. And then came a Samaritan, somebody who was seen by the Israelites to be a lower class, like a real scaly, good for nothing, keep him outside of the city gates type of person. And the Samaritan walked past and he looked at this man and he saw that this man is dying. If I don't do something for him, he could die. I don't want that. And he took this man and he put him on his donkey and he took him to the local inn. And he said, listen, open a tab for me. Whatever this man needs, you give him food, you give him water, you bandage him, you take care of him, put it on my tab. I want this man to get well. What was that? It's called love. A total stranger came into the life of that man that was dying and motivated by love changed his life. Listen to me carefully. Goodness and love will follow you. Strangers are going to come into your life. Motivated by love, they are going to do things for you that sometimes your family will not even do for you. Your husband or your wife will not even do for you. Why? Because love is following you. And when the spirit of love, love is a spirit because God is love. When the spirit of love follows you, it follows you and it touches this person. They're busy looking at you and suddenly they don't just see you, they see something. Wow, I want to do something for this person. You have a problem? The spirit of love motivates somebody to help you out of that problem. You have a need? The spirit of love motivates somebody to touch your life in a way and take you through that time. I don't know about you, but that sounds wonderful to me. Guess what's following my life? Goodness and love. And you know, the devil hates me for that. And he hates you. God is love. Amen. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Is this going to happen once? Is this going to happen twice? No. All the days of my life. Do you want to know what my life is going to be like? I can tell you now. I can't give you all the details because that still has to happen, but I can tell you there will be some trials, there will be some tribulation. There will be some problems and there will be a couple of idiots in my life. That's just a given. But God will always be good to me and love will always motivate people to do amazing things for me in my life. Amen. And one day when I look back, I'm going to speak to my grandchildren and I'm going to share with them testimony upon testimony upon testimony of God's provision, God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's life, God's abundance, miracles, signs and wonders in my life. Can I tell you why? Because I know the only person really worth knowing. He's called the shepherd. And he's number one. Amen. Amen. And I like it. Because God is good. What a nice sermon. I agree. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. Okay. Here's what we're going to do now. The scripture says, God is the shepherd. Let me just find that quickly again. God wants to restore people's souls. This is what I have in my heart. God wants to restore people's souls. God wants to touch people in the area of lack. God wants to guide people that are on the wrong path. God wants to destroy the power of death for those that have been speaking it and calling it. I will fear no evil. There's a lot of people, yeah, you battle with fear. You're afraid of the day of tomorrow. You're afraid of failure. You're afraid of whatever. The devil, the dark. I will not fear. And then God, I believe, wants some of you to start experiencing that banquet in the midst of your enemies. You can't have the banquet in the midst of your enemies if God hasn't given you victory. Some of you tonight are going to get victory. In areas that you have never had victory before, God will give you victory. Why? Because that's what the Word says. Remember what I told you many times. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Have you ever looked at Psalm 23 like that? Did you learn something tonight? Then what you learned must become your sword. And the purpose of that sword is to destroy what the enemy is doing and give you victory. Amen? Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please.